continued. And Pollard, I could not call him in my own mind, stood in the cube chamber as they shaped the sight of which stunned our minds. He had become simply a great head. A huge hairless head, fully a yard in diameter, supported on tiny legs, the arms having dwindled to mere hands that projected just below the head. The eyes were enormous, saucer-like, but the ears were mere pinholes at each side of his head, the nose and mouth being similar holes beside the eyes. He was stepping out of the chamber on his little limbs, and as Dutton and I reeled back in unreasoning horror, his voice came to us, and it held pride.
You tried to keep me from going on, and do you see what I've become? To such as you, no doubt, I seem terrible. Yet you two, and all like you, seem as low to me as the worms that crawl.
Good God, Pollard, you've made yourself into a monster. The words burst from me without thought. His enormous eyes turned on me.
You call me Pollard, and yet I am no more the Pollard you knew, and who entered the chamber first, than you are the ape of a million years ago, from whom you sprang. In all mankind, and like you too. Well, they will all learn the powers of one who is 150 million years in advance of them.
What do you mean?
I mean that with the colossal brain I have, I will master without a struggle this man-forming planet, and make it a huge laboratory in which to pursue the experiments that please me.
But Pollard, remember why you started this experiment in the first place, I cried. To go ahead and chart the path of future evolution for humanity. To benefit humanity and not to rule it. The great head's enormous eyes did not change.
I remember that the creature Pollard was until tonight had such foolish ambitions, yes. It would stir mirth now if I could feel such an emotion. To benefit humanity. Do you men dream of benefiting the animals that you rule over? I would no sooner think of working for the benefit of you humans. Do you two yet realize that I am so far ahead of you in brain power now as you are ahead of primitive beasts? Look at this.
It climbed onto the chair beside one of the laboratory tables, reaching among the retorts and apparatus there. Swiftly poured several compounds into the lead mortar, added others, poured upon the mixed contents another mixture made as swiftly. There was a puff of intense green smoke from the mortar instantly, and then the great head, I can only call him that, turned the mortar upside down. A lump of shining, mottled metal fell out, and we gasped as we recognized the yellow sheen of pure gold, made in a moment, apparently by a mixture of common compounds.
Do you see? What is the transformation of elements to a mind like mine? You two cannot even realize the scope of my intelligence. I can destroy all life on this earth from this room if I desire. I can construct a telescope that will allow me to look upon the planets of the furthest galaxies. I can send my mind forth to make contact with other minds without the slightest material connection. And you think it terrible that I should rule your race. I will not rule them. I will own them. And this planet, as you might own a farm and animals.
You couldn't, I cried. Pollard, if there's anything that Pollard's left in you, give up that thought. We'll kill you ourselves before we let you start a monstrous rule of mankind. We had started desperately forward toward the great head, but stopped suddenly in our tracks as the great eyes met ours. I followed myself. myself walking backward to where I stood, walking back and Dutton with me like two automatons.
So you would try to kill me? Why, I could direct you without a word to kill yourselves and you'd do so in an instant. What chance has your puny will and frame against mine? And what chance will all the forces men have against me when a glance from me will make them puppets of my will?
A desperate inspiration flashed through my brain. Pollard, wait, I exclaimed. You were going on with the process, with the raise.
If you stop here, you'll not know what changes lie beyond your present form.
He seemed to consider.
That is true, and though it seems impossible to me that by going on I can attain greater intelligence than I now have, I want to find out for certain.
Then you'll go under the rays for another 15 minutes, I asked quickly.
I will, but lest you harbor any foolish ideas, you may know that even inside this chamber I will be able to read your thoughts. I can kill both of you before you can make a move to harm me.
Stepped up into the chamber again, and as I reached for the switch, Dutton trembling beside me, we glimpsed for a moment the huge head before the downward white force hid it from our sight. Minutes of this period seemed dragging ever more slowly than before. It seemed hours before I reached at last to snap off the rays. Gazed into the chamber, shaking. At first glance, the head inside seemed unchanged, but then we saw that it had changed, and greatly. Instead of being a skin-covered head with at least rudimentary arms and legs, it was now a great gray head-like shape of even greater size, supported by two great muscular tentacles. The surface of this gray head thing was wrinkled and folded, and its only features were two small eyes as small as our own. Inside our minds came a thought from the gray head thing before us, a thought as clear as though spoken.
You have guessed it, for even my former head body is disappearing. All atrophying except the brain. I become a walking, seeing brain. As I am, so all of your race will be in 200 million years, gradually losing more and more of the atrophied bodies and developing more and more of their great brains.
His eyes seem to read us.
You need not fear now the things I threatened in my last stage of development. My mind, grown infinitely greater, would no more want to rule you men and your little planet than you would want to rule an anthill and its inhabitants. My mind, gone 50 million years further ahead in development, can soar out now to vistas of power and knowledge unimagined by me in that last stage, and unimaginable to you.
Great God, Pollard, I cried, what have you become? Dutton was laughing hysterically.
I have become what all men will become in time. I have gone this far along the road of man's future evolution, and am going on to the end of that road to attain the development that the last mutation possible will give me. Turn on the rays. I think that I must be approaching now the last possible mutation.
Snapped over the switch again, and the white shaft of the concentrated rays veiled from us the great gray shape. into giving beneath the strain of horror of the last hour, and Dutton was still half hysterical. Of the great apparatus seemed thunderous to my ears as the minutes passed. With every nerve keyed to highest tension, I threw open the switch at last. The rays ceased, and the figure in the chamber was again revealed. Began to laugh shrilly, and then abruptly was sobbing. I do not know whether I was doing the same, though I have a dim memory of mouthing incoherent things as my eyes took in the shape in the chamber. It was a great brain, a gray limp mass 4 feet across. It lay in the chamber, its surface rigid and wrinkled by innumerable fine convolutions. It had no features or limbs of any kind in its gray mass. It was simply a huge brain, whose only visible sign of life was its slow, twitching movement. From its thoughts beat strongly into our own horror-weighted minds.
Now a great brain only, just as all men will be far in the future. Yes, you might have known, I might have known, when I was like you, that this would be the course of human evolution, that the brain that alone gives man dominance would develop, and the body that hampers that brain would atrophy until he would have developed into pure brain, as I now am. I have no features. No senses that I can describe to you, yet I can realize the universe infinitely better than you can with your elementary senses. I am aware of planes of existence you cannot imagine. I can feel myself with pure energy without the need of a cumbersome body. To transform it, and I can move and act, and despite my lack of limbs, by means and with speed and power utterly beyond your comprehension. If you still have fear of the threats I made 2 stages back against your world and race, banish them. I'm pure intelligence now, and as such, though I can no more feel the emotions of love or friendship, neither can I feel those of ambition or pride. The only emotion, if such it is, that remains to me still is intellectual curiosity, and this desire for truth that has burned in man since his apehood will thus be the last of all desires to leave him.
Then all men will someday be as you are now, I cried.
Yes, in 250 million years, man as you know him and as you are will be no more. And after passing all the stages through which I have passed through tonight, the human race will have developed into great brains, inhabiting not only your solar system, but entire regions of the universe.
And that's the end of man's evolutionary road? That's the highest point that he will reach?
No, I think he will change from this great brain into still a higher form. And I am going on to find out now what that higher form will be. For I think that this will be the last mutation of all, and that with it I will reach the end of man's evolutionary path, the last and highest form into which he can develop. You will turn on the rays now, and in 15 minutes we will know what that last and highest form is. Turn on the rays.
My hand was on the switch. but Dutton had staggered to me, was clutching my arm.
Don't, Max. We've seen horrors enough. Let's not see the last.
I can't, I cried. Oh, God, I want to stop, but I can't now. I want to see the end myself. I've got to see.
Turn on the ray.
Came the order from the brain again.
Turn on the ray.
The end of the road. The last mutation, I screamed. We've got to see. We've got to see. And I drove the switch home. Flashed down again to hide the great gray brain in the cube. Dutton's eyes were staring fixedly. He was clutching at my side. The minutes passed. Each tick of the watch in my hand was a mighty note of a great tolling bell in my ears. And in a sheer frenzy of sudden strength, pulled open the switch. Rushed forward with Dutton to the cube's very edge. The great gray brain that had been inside, it was gone. There lay on the cube's floor, and instead of it, a quite shapeless mass of clear, jelly-like matter. It was quite motionless, save for a slight quivering. My shaking hand went forth to touch it, and then it was that I screamed. Such a scream as all the tortures of hell's cruelest fiends could not have wrung from a human throat. Inside the cube was a mass of simple protoplasm. This, then, was the end of mankind's evolutionary road, the highest form to which time would bring him, the last mutation of all. The road of man's evolution was a circular one, returning to its beginning. From the Earth's bosom had risen the first crude organisms, then sea creatures and land creatures, and mammal, and ape to man. And from man, it would rise in the future through all the forms that we had seen in this evening. There would be supermen, bodiless heads, pure brains, only to be changed by the last mutation of all. Into the protoplasm from which first it had sprung. I do not know now exactly what followed. I know that I rushed upon the quivering, quiescent mass, calling Pollard's name madly and shouting things I am glad I cannot remember. I know that Dutton was shouting too, with insane laughter. And that as he struck with lunatic howls and fury about the laboratory, the crash of breaking glass and the hiss of escaping gases was in my ears. And then from those mingling acids, bright flames were leaping and spreading. Sudden fire that alone, I think now, saved my own sanity. For I can remember dragging the insanely laughing Dutton from the room, from the house, into the cold darkness of the night. I remember the chill of the dew-wet grass against my hands and face as the flames from Pollard's house soared higher. And I remember that as I saw Dutton's crazy laughter by that crimson light, I knew that he would laugh thus until he died. Thank you. came to Pollard and Pollard's house. It is, as I said in the beginning, a narrative that I can only tell now, for Dutton has never spoken the same word since. In the institution where he now is, they think his condition the result of shock from the fire, just as Pollard was believed to have perished in that fire. I have never until now told the truth, but I am telling it now that it will in some way lessen the horror that it has left in my mind. For there could be no horror greater than that which we saw in Pollard's house that night. I have brooded upon it. With my mind's eye, I have followed the tremendous cycle of change, that eon-long climb of life from simple protoplasm through myriads of forms of lives and ceaseless pain and struggle, only to end in simple protoplasm again. And I wonder one other thought. Will that cycle of evolutionary change be repeated over and over again upon this and other worlds ceaselessly with no purpose until there's no more universe for it to go on in? Is this colossal cycle of life changes as inevitable and necessary as the cycle that in space makes of the nebulae myriad suns to become nebulae again? Or is this evolutionary cycle we saw a cycle in appearance only? Is there some change that we cannot understand above and beyond it? I do not know from which of these possibilities is truth, but I do know that the first of them haunts me. It would haunt the world if the world believed my story. Perhaps I should be thankful as I tell this story that I know that mankind would never believe. Of the Illuminati with Alan Maxwell. We'll see you here again next time. Colin Maxwell is encouraged to P.O. Box 69, again, P.O. Box 69, Elkhorn, Nebraska. That's Echo, Larry, King, Oscar, Roger, November, Elkhorn, Nebraska, 68022. That's 68022, United States of America.